Don't buy Bird Dog's khaki shorts. They're basically just like Lululemon, but they have a bird as a logo. You don't want that. Their website looks like it was made by a 12-year-old. Don't bother visiting it. These idiots can never even keep their products in stock. You shouldn't even waste your time trying. You'll hate Bird Dog's because of their stretch material and tailored fit that makes your legs look and feel great. Nuh-uh. Just don't buy Bird Dog's. You won't like them. Don't go to birddogs.com/MLB, or I promise you'll regret it. Do not visit birddogs.com/MLB or get the free tumbler they're offering.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Had a really good weekend. I don't think it was as good as Brian Harman's weekend. Wait until you hear how the newest American major winner, at 36 years old nonetheless, wait until you hear how he plans to celebrate his Open Championship. Gosh, so happy for him, but also so happy that I did not have to spend an entire day out in the rain, the pouring down rain in Hoylake, England. Did you guys see the conditions? The final round at Royal Liverpool? Oh my goodness, the rain never let up. It poured buckets, cats and dogs. And, you know, we talk a bunch about cats and dogs here on the show. It poured torrential cats and dogs for the entire round. These guys were soaked.
Dogs!
There's only so much you can do with an umbrella on the golf course. But I do love the fact that Brian Harman thanked his caddy for keeping the clubs dry. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, if you didn't see the conditions, please go back and watch the highlights, because he was a phenomenal putter the entire tournament. But to do it in the conditions where your ball is leaving a trail on the putting surface, a trail of water or tears even, oh my gosh, that was some kind of wonderful for Brian Harman and John Rahm and Rory McIlroy and others who were attempting, at least initially, to track down the 36-year-old American. But he made it very clear, you can't touch this. That was essentially what he said. Not quite from the very beginning, but pretty quickly as he settled into it, it was clear his putter was like Thor's hammer. I mean, his putter was the magic wand. It was pretty incredible to see the putts that he dropped. Again, in the pouring down rain with a saturated green. It was soaked. The sod was really hard, I'm sure. I've never played in that kind of condition before, because why would you want to? I'm sure that the ball was not rolling the way that it normally would, and it was getting held up by all the water. Even if you have the best drainage system in the world, the way that the rain was coming down, impossible to avoid the implications. Also, your ball doesn't run the way that it does with dry conditions, or at least not the crazy pouring down rain. So, little challenging. Little bit. However, love the smile for Brian Harman. He stayed really calm and straight-faced the entire day. But did you know he was getting heckled? Because he was playing with the Englishman, Tommy Fleetwood, who grew up really close to Royal Liverpool. Apparently, Brian Harman was getting NBA-like heckled, where he said he can't even repeat some of the words and some of the heckling that people were yelling at him. And he was getting booed. I thought that was against golf etiquette. He was getting booed. Wow, those English men and women, they're a little nasty something, something. So yeah, congratulations to Brian. Had to overcome the elements and the bullseye on his back, not to mention the hecklers across the pond Well, how rude. It's just rude. I honestly didn't even know there was heckling. Also, have you seen what's underneath the umbrellas of a lot of these guys? Producer Jay, did you see? It's not just an umbrella. When is an umbrella not an umbrella? I suppose it's when there's a major championship on the line. Did you see what was hanging from underneath the umbrellas of a lot of these guys?
No.
The only way to keep their gloves dry was to hang them. It was like, have you ever seen someone hold like a, I don't know, let's say a bunch of grapes, something like that. And the way the grapes kind of hang down and they're straddled, right, and they're hanging in all different like locations and stuff and just different, different places on the vine. So they're not all, they're not flush, right? They're just, it's kind of like a grape vine.
Like a hat rack kind of idea.
Something like that. Yeah. So he actually had underneath his umbrella, Brian's caddy had hung a bunch of gloves so that he could keep them dry. Number one, and number two, give them to Brian so that his hand wasn't wet. I mean, you can imagine that after one hole, maybe even half a hole, these gloves were soaked, which made it really hard to grip the club and everything else. So yeah, he's got a bunch of low hanging fruit. He's got a bunch of gloves hanging underneath his umbrella, and then he's got towels hanging underneath there as well to keep those dries. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time that they've ever played in pouring down rain, but I mean, in order to keep the gloves dry, you had to do the same thing. So yeah, it was like gloves and towels hanging from underneath the umbrella. That's, I'm sure, amazing, ingenious.
It's quite the umbrella.
Yeah, it's not going to stay warm. It's not going to stay dry in your bag, right? Because your bag is eventually going to be soaked. So that's awesome. I always think of the caddies in these situations because not only do the golfers themselves, especially those who have never won a major, not only do the golfers themselves get a massive payday, and in this case, it's not like Brian Harman has never won, but he hasn't won in 6+ years. He last won at 30 years old. He's now 36. I think he's ranked in the top 30 in the world. He's now moving up in Ryder Cup points, which is awesome. You can imagine he's never participated in any international event repping the red, white, and blue, and now has the chance. He's almost a lock for the Ryder Cup team, which comes up in late September, early October. I mean, what a moment for this guy who has paid his dues, quote unquote, who has worked his arse off, who has finished multiple times in second place and had top tens since his last win. But here he is, his first major, and it comes in the pouring down rain, and no one gets close to him. I mean, he locked it down. Just awesome. So happy for him. And the fact that he was able to not only realize this incredible dream, but also get the $3 million payoff. And so back to the caddy then, it's pretty cool that the caddy also gets a sizable cut. And so it's his biggest payday as well. Congratulations to Brian. We've also got a salty John Rahm. He had quite the weekend. I'm sure the rain made everyone annoyed.
I'm trying to walk.
Except for Brian Harman.
There's way too many people on my way now.
He sounds like such a bully. You take those quotes out of context, he sounds like a big fat bully.
Kind of the disregard that I existed.
Just disregard that I existed at your own peril, you jerk. Anyway, Rory McIlroy as well. His drought extends, obviously. He's now 9 years plus in without winning a major, though he did birdie 3 of the first 6 holes, and there were a lot of people who thought he was about to put in a major charge. But as it turns out, it would have taken more than what Rory had, more than what John Rahm had, to make up the deficit that they were facing with Brian Harman. And Brian started the day at 5 strokes up. He finished the day at 6 strokes up. Again, he was relatively untouchable on this Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know what? When it's muggy and buggy, I'm also untouchable. Muggy, buggy, no huggy. But it was a perfect Saturday at the beach. So as I say, my weekend was not as tremendous as Brian Harman's, but I did enjoy my trip to the beach for the first time. Jersey Shore was calling my name. It's funny because I went with a friend of mine who a couple of weeks ago had canceled, and we both agreed that the temps were only going to be in the 70s and it wasn't going to be a real nice day. And we wanted to go in the water. This is the same friend who last year, after we had to say goodbye to Grammy Helen, went to the beach. She came with me. She dragged me into the water. And it was really the first joy that I had felt since my grandmother had passed away. And so there we were again on Saturday, deja vu. She's cajoling me, begging me, giving me guilt trips about getting in the water because I take my time. There's two kinds of people in this world. The kind who jump in with no regard for how frigid it will be when you first get wet and get submerged. And then there's the rest of us who would just prefer to take it easy, okay? Stop rushing me. I'm that way in a pool as well, except for my mom's pool. Apparently right now the temps are in the lower 90s, upper 80s at night, lower 90s during the daytime, and she thinks it's perfect. Well, I will be visiting mom in Houston by the end of the week, and I will be using the pool, but I'm not sure how refreshing that is. I'll also say there's no need for me to take my time getting into the water when it's in the low 90s. But since it's not just me, it'll be fun. My best friend, Stephanie, is flying in from Atlanta on Thursday, same time. Poor Bob. He hasn't seen me in 5 weeks, and we get to the airport, and I'm not going to be by myself. He's got to share me with my best friend who I haven't seen in 4 years.
Oh, you're going to be more excited to see your friend.
4 years? No, I'm sorry, 3 years. We did Thanksgiving 2020 together. So I drove to Atlanta to see her during the pandemic, and we did Thanksgiving together then. So it's not quite been 3 years, but it's been a long time. I haven't seen her. And we both just celebrated milestone birthdays, and she's coming in to spend only 36 hours. So I have kind of preemptively apologized to Bob for the fact that not only does he have to share me with Stephanie, he has to share me with my mother.
Sorry.
Who just had foot surgery. So yeah, for the first 48 hours that I'm in Houston, Bob gets no time with me just to himself. Oops. I mean, that's what it's like to be in an Italian family. We're all up in each other's grill. Jay, tell him, you never do anything by yourself. You do everything as a pack, you and your family.
There's no other option. If you try to do anything rogue, they're going to either just follow or make you feel bad until
rogue,
you come back. So
rogue. I love how you put it. If you try to do anything rogue, like have a boyfriend and spend time with your boyfriend, well, your mom's got to be involved. Your best friend's got to be involved. Jay tries to go on a vacation or tries to watch a movie or go somewhere. Nope, whole family has to come.
It's a whole
along.
Production.
It's one of the reasons I love being part of an Italian family. You're never lonely, ever. But you also really don't get much privacy with your
totally
Italian
fine.
Family either. It's totally fine. Whatever, Aaron Rodgers, you're not Italian. Stop it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did post a photo of the glorious Saturday morning at the beach. I also sent this photo to Jay to make him jealous. What were you doing on Saturday morning when I sent you this incredible? Did you see the sky, the wispy clouds, and the beautiful blue water?
I wasn't at the beach. That's what I was.
Well,
wasn't
it's not
doing.
My fault. I told you to go to the beach.
I wanted to. I really did. It was a perfect beach day Saturday. I was jealous. I will
day.
Admit. Definitely jealous.
So we got there before 9 o'clock because that's my rule. And actually, we were 45 minutes later than I wanted to get there. But since I was driving, I had to go pick up my friend. Anyway, oh my gosh, Jay, you're not going to believe what happened. Wait till I tell you what happened on the way to the beach on Saturday morning. You won't believe it. That's a teaser right there. It's like the one thing that could threaten to ruin the entire day outside of a car accident, which is, it's not that, but the one thing that could threaten to ruin the entire bleeping day happened before I even picked up my friend. Oh,
wow.
Can you guess?
I don't even want to try.
No. You know me in mornings. What has to happen in my mornings? Don't, well, Don't say it out loud. I think you'll figure it out.
I'm thinking now.
Okay, you're thinking. I can see you. There's like all of a sudden your feelers are up.
Very intrigued.
Yes. So I'll share that story because it was one of those mornings where everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. And yet you get to the beach. Okay. So anyway, check out the photo on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I will have producer Jay help me put it up on our Facebook page. It's a shorter work week for me. I'm not sorry. I will not be here on Thursday night. So I'll be here for 4 days and then I'll be peace out to go visit. Well, mom thinks I'm visiting her. Bob thinks I'm visiting him. I mean, mom's actually right. I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for mom in the pool, I would not be going to Houston in late July. Do you know how hot it is right there, or right now there, Jay?
It's consistent over 100?
Oh, heavens to Betsy. With the heat index, sometimes they're about 115. Mm. Oh, it's just gross. And it's not a dry heat like Arizona. No, it's a soupy heat.
It's just hot.
And so the thing is, he needs to know muggy, buggy, no huggy. There's no huggies. No.
It's the rule.
It's the rule. I mean, you can't violate the rule. Gah.
Rules are there for a reason.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me. Good to see you. Don't touch me.
I'm just warning you now. Don't touch me.
Oh, I haven't seen it in forever. Don't touch me, though.
Our one visit this month. Just stay over there.
It's very simple.
Am I so mean? Did you say it's very simple?
It's very, very simple.
There's just one rule. Don't touch me.
If anything, it's a nice gesture because it's, hey, you know, I'm buggy, just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. Get off me. Why do you have to make me laugh? I was just starting to get serious here. No, I wasn't.
Get out of here.
Go away. Wait, where's John Ron when I need him? He's talking about people are in my way. They won't let me by. I'm trying to walk. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you what, it's some summertime, and we like to have a good time here on the show. So, yes, check us out on either Twitter or Facebook or both. We have no rules against that. There's only one rule. Just don't touch me. Coming up, we've got so much to do. First of all, the Baltimore Orioles take 3 of 4 from the Tampa Bay Rays. So a big weekend for Baltimore and actually a great surge right now. They've won 12 of 15. The Cincinnati Reds have won 5 in a row. The Atlanta Braves, there's not a team within 11 and a half games of them in their own division. I can't even figure out what's going on with the rest of the NL East, but it's gross. Scott Rolen, Fred McGriff, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. We had the start of the Women's World Cup for Team USA and the debut of their uber rookie, their super rookie, super, she's a super stud.
Sensational.
She's super Sophia. Sophia Smith is super Sophia Smith. Get to know the name Sophia Smith. That's what you need to do. Also, we will do our absolute best to work in some of the football stuff. What you need to know is that there's one big holdout for the Super Bowl champions. You also need to know that the running backs in the NFL, is this collusion? I'm sorry, but is this collusion? I thought collusion was against the rules in the NFL. I think it's just against the rules for the owners. But the running backs in the NFL got on a Zoom call, I'm sure to commiserate, probably some bitching. There was probably a lot of bitching that was going on. I hope no one recorded it. Oh, do you think someone recorded it?
I hope so. So you we do? Can have it.
Is it one of those situations where you say, no, Absolutely not. Yeah, no recording.
There's no way anyone could. If I was like running that meeting, if I found out someone was recording it. Yeah.
It's a secret handshake. No one's recording. But Nick Chubb is sharing what they talked about. And this was a call with some of the best running backs in the NFL. So we have a lot to get to. Really excited always to reconvene on a Sunday night into a Monday morning. So again, find us Twitter, Facebook, photos, beaches, all types of things. Brian Harman making $3 million. But I mean, he paid his dues. Oh, I actually asked my fourth and fifth graders on Sunday morning at church. This was not my question. It was an icebreaker for them, and it had to do with our lesson kind of, but it was my leadership partner. She came up with this. What are your favorite motivational phrases? Because a lot of them either play sports or play an instrument, so they have recitals. Some of them are, I mean, we have one little girl in my class who is a black belt in Taekwondo. She's 10, and she is a black belt. Yeah, she's been doing. I know, she's amazing. Just a cute little girl, Mona. She's my favorite. Oh, whoops, I'm not supposed to say that. I worked really hard to have a relationship with her because when she first started, she would not speak to me or to any of the other kids. She was very shy, and now we can't get her to stop talking. It's amazing. Anyway, so I asked them their favorite motivational phrases because they get pep talks from people, and one of the girls said, go hard or go home. Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, I told them anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. And of course, I used my favorite phrase from Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you remember? Were you paying attention?
Yes, I do. And it's escaping me at this moment.
All right, I'll give you some time.
Oh, man.
I'll show you some grace and give you some time. Right. And you can come up with it and pretend like you were actually listening. You're about to go to Google, aren't you?
No, I won't.
Okay. All right. So we're just getting started, off and running. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yes, Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Yankees are hitting 321 against that cover.
Next pitch, and that's a shot that's hit to dead center field, and that one is a line drive home run. It is out of here. Shohei Ohtani with home run number 36 of the season. He's had 11 of them in his last 21 games. And that swing of the bat ties things up quickly. It's 1-1.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Is this Blondie? Oh my gosh. Jay loves his 80s and 90s music. Fantastic. Shohei Ohtani had gone hitless in 3 games. Is that unheard of? I feel like that's not allowed for the player that one baseball analyst and insider said was arguably the best in the history of the game. I don't think he can go hitless for 3 days if he's the best in the history of the game. I'm still salty over that. Still snarky over it, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Terry Smith on Angels Radio. And in the first inning, Shohei blasts out of his three-game hitless streak with his 36th home run. Already leads the majors. Gosh, nobody is caught up to him, even though he went without a home run for, what, 4 or 5 days. But this was also his final home game before the deadline. It was as though he was making sure the Angels, everybody else there, knows exactly how valuable he can be. He turned on that ball, but it was more like an Albert Pujols home run. Do you remember, and this goes back a few years, but when Albert Pujols tried to convince people he was a line drive hitter? I just am a line drive hitter who happens to have 700 home runs. Anyway, the Pirates were at the Angels' last home game before baseball's trade deadline.
Next delivery, that's a liner in the gap in right center field. That'll easily bring in Moustakas. Now we'll see what happens with Theis. He's going to get the third. They'll put the brakes on him at second with an RBI double as Escobar. And the Angels have had three straight hits here in the bottom of the second and take a 2-1 lead. 2-2. And this is lifted in the air to right. This should do it. Waiting for it is Renfroe under. He'll one-hand it, and the ball game is over. So the Angels end up holding on and beating the Pirates 7-5. You can put a halo over this one.
I mean, really, you look at it, those three series we won. I mean, 6-3, I believe. I think it was a nice stretch at home, absolutely. I mean, that month-long look deal we were looking at didn't quite go our way because of what happened the first 2 weeks right before the break, but guys are responding well. They understand everything's still in front of us. Important road trip, obviously, but Tuesday is really the most important. I know we're going and playing some very good teams. Detroit's playing well. They just wanted, they're swinging the bats good. They pitch well. We're going to face their best three. So we just take it one day at a time.
I will say I am very impressed with how the Angels have recovered. They've stopped what was a dangerous downward spiral. They managed to pull themselves out of that flat line, and they're now able to approach this trade deadline differently than what maybe they would have right before the All-Star break when, man, it felt like they were about to implode. He's referring to the injuries. So Phil Nevin referring to the injuries that they sustained. Remember, they had just lost Mike Trout. Then, oh my gosh, who was it? Anthony Rendon, who went on the IL. Shohei Ohtani not only had the cracked fingernail, but then had the blister and had to be removed from the game early, and also didn't pitch during the All-Star break, which is probably a bonus for them. They had fallen below 500 before the break. But now they have won 6 of 8, and they're back above 500, and they're only 4 games out of the third AL wild card. But more importantly, there's only 2 teams between them and that third wild card. So that's the deal. It's not just about how many games out. It's about how many other teams are you running with. The Red Sox and the Yankees are both 2 games out. And of course, they're in the bottom of the AL East. We'll see what the Yankees do at the deadline. This is clearly not what they anticipated for the 2023 season, but still no Aaron Judge, though. He did take live pitching, so did a live simulated game on Sunday, which is a major step forward. But the Angels are very much in the thick of this AL wildcard race now. This is huge. This changes everything. You're not trading away Shohei Ohtani when he's your best hitter, when he's the glue that's keeping you together. However, even as they approach the trade deadline, they did push back Ohtani's next start on the mound. Is it because of the finger? Is there something physically wrong with Shohei?
Pitches into the seventh, and he's right there at 85 pitches. Just wasn't going to let him, go to the top again. I mean, they took some good swings off him at the top. He's got some good hitters over there. And obviously, he left some pitches up that got hit. Finger was fine. He ran the bases, 4 or 5 times today. There's a factor in that. And it just seems the more times he's on base, the fatigue sets in a little earlier. So, we got to that point, and I just didn't want to, I had Loopy up for Sawinski, and You know, that's just the way I was going to do that inning.
So Phil Nevin is explaining, going back to Shohei's start on Friday, in which he gave up four home runs for the first time in his pitching career in the majors. He was tired. And think about it. The dog days of summer, the heat, it can be a huge deal, right? It can really drain you. They're playing in Anaheim against the Pirates. He's laboring on the mound. Then he's on base four or five times. I guess it's a good problem to have. They're on base four. He's on base four or five times as a pitcher. So they ended up cutting that start short. And then in addition, have decided to give him an extra day's rest. Was it Kodai Senga who, when he first started with the Mets this season, they were giving him an extra day's rest just because of the way that he had pitched in Japan and wasn't used to the rigors. I'm using my air quotations, the rigors of pitching five innings every fifth day in the major leagues.
Yeah, the Mets were trying to do the six man rotation for a while. They still do try to give him that extra day when they can, but he has pitched on five. But if they can give him that sixth, yeah, that's just what he's used to, I guess.
Yeah, so in Shohei's world, sure, he's become used to pitching every fifth day and hitting every game. But this is an opportunity for him to just have an extra breather. And I don't know if you all were watching the All-Star Game coverage when the interview with Ken Rosenthal aired, and he was asked about preparing for both the hitting and the pitching and the fact that, you know, it's physically exhausting. And what did he say? I sleep a lot. I mean, it takes a lot out of him to pitch the way that he does. And he routinely goes into the sixth, seventh, or sometimes even the eighth innings. Although I can imagine that Nevin is not interested in allowing him to pitch into the eighth inning right now. But the season is wearing on. It's hot in a lot of places. And I can understand why they want to give him an extra day. But the thing is, this is the week. I'm nervous. I can feel it in my gut. I'm nervous for Angels fans. I don't want them to lose Ohtani. I would love for him to stay there. I just can't imagine that now they pull the trigger on the trade, considering that they are within four games of a wild card spot and they're playing good baseball without Mike Trout. They don't have Trout back. So that's huge. So all week long, just prepare for it. If Shohei Ohtani sneezes, there will be a report and a tweet put out about it. And there will be lots of speculation, lots of rumors about what might happen at the trade deadline. There aren't going to be a lot of teams that are selling, but maybe a few. I mean, that's kind of what we've heard from baseball GMs, is they really don't know how this trade deadline will play out. Of course, there will be teams that inquire about Ohtani, but I would be floored if Artie Moreno gave the green light for a trade now, considering that they're playing much better. I know you're taking a risk. He may not re-sign there, but you know what? If you do surge to a wild card spot and the Angels make the playoffs for the first time since 2014, there is a much better chance that he will re-sign there. He likes Anaheim. He picked Anaheim. So let's see. We're watching Shohei Ohtani. It's like a soap opera. It's the Shohei soap opera. The Shohei soap. All right, coming up, we will talk Baltimore Orioles and those sad Tampa Bay Rays. What happened to them? I barely recognize you. You used to be someone that was proud and successful and accomplished, and then I don't just know what happened to you, Tampa Bay Rays.
You're back in the dumpers again.
Speaking of Dan Campbell, we are so excited to have Dan Campbell audio on this edition of the show. It was one of the first things I texted Jay about our audio list and what I saw over the weekend is, yes, I might have done a fist pump, no judging, about the fact that we had Dan Campbell, because he cracks us up. I'm not sure. All right, here's a question. Who would you rather hear from? Let's say we could have an entire week of one sports figure. In our case, I can narrow it down to two NFL coaches. Jay, it would either be Mike Tomlin or Dan Campbell for us. But should we put that question out there? If you could only hear from one sports figure for an entire week, who would it be? Who would make you laugh the most? Do we need to qualify that? This is about humor.
Yeah, who would make you laugh? Well, I mean, maybe people might look at that and say, someone motivates them, so they'd want to hear from him all week for motivation.
Okay. I would run through a wall for Mike Tomlin. He is not trying to be funny. Mike Tomlin's not trying to be funny. We know Dan Campbell's simply a lunatic. Mike Tomlin's taking himself and his job very seriously.
I really have no reservations about that.
I love me some Pat P.
I just love Pat P.
He did not urinate down his leg. Okay, so that'll be kind of a quirky July question. If you could only hear from one athlete or coach or sports figure for an entire week.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
See, the thing is, when you say it, we all think the exact opposite. That's why I don't even bother telling people I'm not crazy anymore, because I'm absolutely crazy.
We got to keep a lid on it.
I didn't even hear that one before. Where'd you come up with that one? That's fantastic.
He's got everything.
Do you think anyone will root for Aaron Rodgers? Anyone will say Aaron Rodgers is the one athlete that I would like to hear for an entire week? If I could only hear from one.
It's just not going to happen, man.
One athlete, one coach, one GM, one sports figure. If I can only hear from one sports figure on After Hours for an entire week, who would it be? No one's going to say Aaron Rodgers. Who's going to? You're going to say Aaron Rodgers, aren't you?
No.
Yes,
no.
You are too. You love Aaron Rodgers. It's fine. It's totally fine.
And that's fine. It really is. It's totally fine.
Jay, I can see I'm telling you, the smoke coming from the top of his head, because he loves it when we get to drop all these quirky phrases and sound bites in. So yeah, that's a fun July question. I've never asked this before. If you could hear from one sports figure for an entire week, you could only hear from one, who would it be? You could say me. It's totally fine.
Totally fine.
Fine. We'll hear from Peter Schwartz. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, if you need a Zen beach photo to take you away, if you would just like to hang out with us and say hello, we're glad to have you. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Righty comes set. Here's a pitch. Breaking ball. Driven well. Right field. Margot looking this one back. And it is way out of here. Oh, my heavens. That one landed near the tank. And right near the Coca-Cola bottle on the walkway in right field. I think that one went off of it.
It did. It did.
Oh, my heavens.
O'Shea fires. O'Hearn out towards left field. Fair or foul, heading for the wall. It dings off the pole, and it's a home run for Ryan O'Hearn. This guy is having an unbelievable season with the Orioles. A leadoff shot. And Poche has only given up three all season, but O'Hearn gets him here to take back the lead. 4-3 Orioles.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Orioles radio network, a rally for the O's. And that hitting, that energy, the winning, oh, it's contagious. They've now won 12 of their last 15, including taking 3 of 4 from what was the best team in the American League for the first half, at least, of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gunnar Henderson, he goes 2 for 4 with a home run and a couple of RBI.
It's just an awesome group of guys. We all just have each other's backs, and no matter what the score is, we're all going to keep battling. And, I mean, even whenever they tied it up yesterday, we didn't put our heads down, and we just came back and put up another run.
Tough place to play. Trouble playing here in the past, and we just played four really good games against a really good team, and just really proud of all of our guys' effort. It's going to take 26 or more the rest of the way. Everybody contributed. I thought, we did a lot of things well this series, and hopefully we can keep it rolling into Philly.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia. That's what they need. Scuffling along, trying to make up some ground in the NL East. wanting to avoid being one of the other disappointments in the National League. Man, it's crazy if you think about some of the teams that had such high expectations and have fallen back with a thud, a very resounding thud. And I'm not referring to the Rays. They have the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball. So we're talking about teams that actually had huge expectations coming into this season. I'm looking at you, Phillies. After they get to the World Series last year, what do? They add Trey Turner. Lot of excitement. Bryce Harper comes back from his injury much more quickly than what people anticipated. I would also say the Mets, because they have the most expensive, most lucrative payroll in the history of baseball. No one has ever spent more money on a team than the Mets have this season. They had 101 wins last year. Yes, they bowed out quickly in the playoffs, but they added Justin Verlander, and what is going on? They're 7 games below 500. I mean, they're so far out that they're not even a wild card contender. Sorry, Jay. So you've got two teams in the NL East that are in that same category of high expectations, high disappointment, high embarrassment factor. I don't know if you would put the Cardinals in that category, maybe. I mean, they've got some pretty highly paid star players as well. I'm not sure anyone thought they would take a huge step back after Albert Pujols retired, but they've been scuffling all year, and their pitching is a major reason why, though. I just saw that Adam Wainwright is scheduled to return in the next week, which is a big deal for him. I mean, he's 40 years old and is pitching through his last season, kind of. He's not pitching. But anyway, the Cardinals have been a huge disappointment, too. And then you look in the NL West, and the way that the Padres continue to slip farther and farther back, they're now 10 out of that division lead, 10 games out. All of that to say that misery loves company, and really, all things considered, the Rays are not a disappointment. Now, it's tough that they seemingly cannot buy a big hit with runners on base, with opportunities in front of them. You remember a couple of days ago, they had 10 hits and only one run. They really have struggled to come up with that big blow with the bat at the dish. And yesterday afternoon, again, they're 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position.
We had some good at-bats early on Wells. He's pretty tough. Didn't do him any favors by expanding too much, but just couldn't find that way to get the big hit. Ideally, this offense is too good to go that quiet for so long. So, Yandy picked us up, but like to think that we can have some better at-bats collectively to put a little bit more pressure on the pitchers.
Two games up now in the American League East. This Orioles team may turn out to be the story of the 2023 season. Though the Reds, they've won another 5 games in a row. Great story there as well. I think the Rangers, of course, they have spent a lot of money on their team over the past couple years. But ironically enough, they go out and they overspend on Jacob DeGrom, and he hasn't pitched yet. Or hasn't pitched. Did he pitch? He pitched a couple of games earlier.
5 or 6 starts, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Whatever. They were so memorable, as you know. Anyway, people in Baltimore are so excited about the Orioles. Ken is a great example. Just sent me a tweet a little while ago, A-Law Radio. The Orioles are my hometown baseball team. I think all they need is some bullpen arms. Well, the deadline is coming up. And he says, I just ordered a Gunnar Henderson jersey. I like that. Maybe Ken or other Orioles fans would like to hear from, let's see, nothing but Brandon Hyde for an entire week. That's our question. If there's one sports figure, athlete, coach, GM, maybe a new owner, maybe it's Josh Harris, the new owner of the Commanders. If you could only hear from one for an entire week, who would it be? Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.